The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God. Stay blessed.
Luke chapter 8, from verse number 22. I'm preaching on the topic, Riding Over Your Storm. Luke chapter 8. From verse number 22 through 25. Now, it came to pass on a certain day that he went into the ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, where is thy faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. I'm speaking in four short segments over this particular text we have read. And number one is Jesus's word. Number two is the storm on the lake. Number three is the storm rebuked. And number four is victory over nature. Throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, it was a manifestation of something holistic, something in relation to the spirit, to the soul, and to the body. And it even affected things that are in the natural realm. When we talk about the natural realm, we are talking about things that conform to the ordinary course of nature. Nature relates to the physical, the material world that we can feel and we can see. So that in general, the world that surrounds us, the physical that we can see and feel, refers to the natural world. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, when God created all things, he programmed the world to operate along a certain course. And the Bible says that to every seed, he puts another seed into that seed. And the Bible says in verse 11, whose seed is in itself. So a certain pattern of order was declared and created by God that the mango seed will produce a mango tree. And the mango tree will produce a mango fruit, and out of it will come a mango seed, and it continues in a cyclical, lovely manner. And sometimes things don't seem to work in that expected order. There are certain times that there are interferences in this natural order of activity. And in such a situation, we say that a certain amount of disorder has invaded the order. So anything that occurs contrary to what is expected as a natural order of things, particularly if it's negative, then we say it is disorderly because it is not in consonance with expected patterns of activity. Coming to the first point, Jesus' word. The disciples and Jesus had been working, Jesus had been preaching, and I'm sure they came to a place to settle. Then all they heard was Jesus telling them, let's get to the other side of the lake. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. If you go down a bit, the Bible says, but the Word was made flesh. Although the Word is spirit, the Word at a point in time acquired a natural form. In other words, the Word of God has the capacity to transform itself from the spiritual to natural form and to meet needs where it is required. So when you look at scripture, you realize that the Word of God is good. And Jesus said He speaks nothing of Himself except that which He has heard from God. God's Word has authority over all things because He's the sovereign ruler over the whole world. So for Jesus to say, let us get to the other side of the lake, meant that it was a done deal. It means there should have been no contradiction. There should have been no contrary winds. There should have been no opposition whatsoever. However, even Jesus' words were to face a challenge. You're not getting what I'm saying. We would have assumed that since the Word has authority over all things, once Jesus has spoken, that must be it. But in the text we just read, we saw something else that happened, and in a moment or two, we shall attend to that. But Jesus said, let us go to the other side of the lake. And in this particular context, He was referring to the Sea of Galilee. In other words, let us sail across. There is not just one side of a thing. There is also the other side. This side may be fine, but the other side is far better. This side may be okay, but the other side is more fulfilling. This side may make you achieve something commonplace, but the other side is a side of excellence. Achievement on this side will make you ordinary, but achievement on that other side will make you achieve a status of an extraordinary individual. This side may just give you regular income. But the other side will not just only give you income, it will give you investments and security for the future. In other words, there is a this side and there is the other side. And Jesus said, you have been on this side and there's nothing wrong about it, but I'm inviting you to sail along with me to the other side. There is an invitation to you and I that we have been on this side of the mountain for so long, but there is an invitation for us to come with Him to the other side. The reason why some people will not move quickly is because where they are on this side has become a comfort zone. It has become a zone where they are familiar with, and it's a zone where they have attained some quietness. And for them, nothing bothers them. The pain for them is to make a move and encounter some kind of opposition or anything that is contrary to them. So for them, being on this side is the normal life. But if you stay on this side for the next decade or two, you would realize that it may not be able to sustain you. If you stay on this side of the anointing, it may not help you win certain battles that lie ahead. If you stay on this side of financial achievement, inflation and global economic trends of depression may catch up with you, and you would not be able to find life very comfortable. So for those in their comfort zone, the idea of change really disturbs them. But Jesus said, let's get to the other side. And the Bible says, and they launched forth. I like the word launched. That word launch means that they made a thrust. They were in one place, but they pushed themselves to reach the next place. They would not allow circumstances to make them stay where they were. They were willing to rise from where they were so that they would go to the other side. The word launch means to thrust, to make a bold attempt or to take a course of action. It also means to be ambitious or to engage in an ambitious enterprise. In life, you have to dream and aspire to get to the other side. You have to be ambitious to get to the other side. Somebody said the word ambition is not good. The word ambition is like knife. It depends on the person in whose hands it is placed. So a man without ambition is a man without passion. And God wants you to be ambitious. At least say, I'll win the village title. At least say, I will win the title in my community. Or the title in my region, or the title, the world title, I want the crown. Be ambitious. Start from somewhere. But don't go through life just allowing the waves to move you back and forth. The word ambitious means to have a desire for distinction. In other words, God doesn't want you lost in the crowd. God doesn't want a situation for you where it is difficult to describe you. Don't you know that person? God wants you to achieve, so as soon as your name is mentioned or your profession is described, there is no doubt whom we are referring to. Because there is a distinguishing anointing on you. The Bible says, for you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You are distinguished, that's why you are peculiar. You are different. And therefore, you must rise to that grace that is resident in your life and begin to walk in the light of that anointing. So let your life be filled with some effort to achieve. In a quest to achieve, you may face some disappointments. You may face some frustrations. But you have to learn to rise above these disappointments and rise above these setbacks. You may have to get the loins of your mind and determine that come what may, I will arise to overcome that which attacked me. So in your ambition, you must have some appetite to achieve. You must have a craving to succeed, an enthusiasm to overcome, and an eagerness to be distinguished. Can you give the next person a high five and say, be distinguished by the grace of God? Turn to another and say, be distinguished, brother, be distinguished, sister. Don't be mediocre. Don't be ordinary. Don't just be a talker. Be a doer. Don't build castles in the air. Apply diligence into your life. Launch out into the deep. Take some risk. The deep can be frightening. The waters can be swelling. And they will be overwhelming. And your heart will be in your mouth. But recognize that God is on your side. So don't be afraid of the challenges that lay ahead, because if you stay where you are, you will still face those challenges. It's better to decide that the Lord is on your side, and because of that, you are going to rise and move on so that His help will reach your life. So Jesus gave His word. Tell the next person, don't be ordinary. Oh, you didn't say it well. Tell the next person, don't be ordinary. Oh, say it again. Tell the next person, don't be ordinary. Number two, the storm on the lake. Jesus has said the word. The disciples had launched out with Him. They were ambitious. They were passionate. They were desirous to win. They wanted to be distinguished. So they went along with their master. And the Bible says, but as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. A storm is marked by strong winds, sometimes thunderings and lightnings and rainstorm. Storms can usually be disruptive. They may disrupt electricity. They may disrupt water services. They may disrupt bridges and road linkages. Storms can be disruptive. And some of the winds that move in the time of storms can be up to 125 miles an hour or sometimes more. The storms have been categorized. And depending on the intensity of the storm, you have a storm that is category one. Another is category two, category three, four, five. You cannot face a category three storm with a category one anointing. Oh, come on. Can I say that again? As a child of God, there's a stage in your life where you will have category one storms. But you have to prepare yourself above the category one storm so you can deal with it, so you can overcome it and move to the next stage. But when you let the anointing in the storms rise above that which is yours, then you may be overwhelmed by the winds that may blow. And many times people would interpret it as being cursed, but it's just winds blowing that you haven't dealt with. And the winds may blow seasonally. So if you know winds blow against you seasonally in June, then your intercessions must start earlier. I'm not hearing an amen. You don't lay back doing nothing. June arrives and the storms start and you start weeping. Well, people know how to weep rhythmically. You start feeling sorrowful for yourself. You start wondering why, since you came to Christ, things have not been smooth and all your colleagues have gone ahead. You don't understand why. But while these storms were underway, Jesus was asleep. Oh, come on. The storms were rocking the boat. Water was finding its way into the boat, and the disciples were trying to empty the boat, but to no avail. And Jesus was asleep. Can I whisper to you? Jesus can sleep. It's like a friend of mine who went to another country and there was fire in the building where it was, and many ambulances and police vans came and all their sirens were blowing and they evacuated everybody, and the guy was fast asleep. You have to have the anointing that when your body hits the bed, you are gone. Don't tell me I cannot sleep. If I can't sleep, then I'm either reading the Bible or praying or worshiping or watching news. I won't worry about the fact that I cannot sleep. Oh, come on. Because I will be praying and somehow I'll be carried away in a sleep. So Jesus was fast asleep. Listen to me. Storms can not only be disruptive, they can be destructive. They can come with devastation in their wake. And at this juncture, nature had started rising against the Messiah and his team on the ship. The winds of nature had started blowing against them, and their lives were in a peril. That's why they woke Jesus up and said, "Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" As long as you remain in a position where you do nothing, the storms will continue. As long as you remain on this side of life and venture not to get to the other side, the storms will continue somehow. But the moment you decide to get to the other side, you will face some greater storms. So don't be surprised as a child of God when after a major prophecy, you begin to face your storm. Oil was poured upon David. He was anointed to be king. Just immediately after that, Saul trained to be a javelin thrower. His persecutions would start. He would be driven into the wilderness. He will be hungry, faint as if he was mad, and allow spittle to run by the side of his mouth. He will go into enemy's territory to beg for bread to survive. He will leave his regular place of residence and go and sleep in the caves of Adullam. Storms were blowing against him, and he had to survive. He had to overcome the storms. And child of God, storms may come against us. I remember storms blew at my family, 6 brothers living with our parents, and the storms of divorce blew. And life became so difficult that while mom and dad were at serious loggerheads, dad will prepare his meal and enjoy. Mom will prepare and share with the rest of the children. Daddy's anger was passed on to us. So certain basic responsibilities will not be performed. I remember on one occasion the school uniforms that we were wearing were so torn. If a man was torn 3 times on my shoulder, you could have called me Sergeant Jangma. But I have since graduated to General Jangma. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. Mommy had to protest vehemently for those uniforms to be changed. Daddy would not budge. Finally, with a great deal of reluctance, he got some fabric. Then he decided no tailors will make those things for us except the tailors in his workplace. Apparently, those tailors had majored in sewing overalls. Oh, you know what I'm going to talk about. So when we went for the measurements to be taken, whenever the tailor took a measurement like 8, he would look into my father's eyes and he said it in Ghana. He says, if it's 8, he would say, I call it 10, which means let's consider it as 10. Yemfani 10. If it was 10, he said, I call it 12. If it was 12, he said, I call it 40. So every measurement was associated with an I call it this, I call it that. By the time the clothes were ready, mine was bigger than my elder brother. In fact, in simple terms, mine was an Atale Jonjo. Mommy had to protest vehemently against her. The clothing did not feed the children properly. And I heard daddy's bass voice saying, leave it. They will grow into it. They will grow. Life was not pleasant at all. We were living in a neighborhood where Kwame Nkrumah's ministers of state and MPs lived. About 5 houses away from ours was the current president's father's house. So I should have had a Dada Biryanic life. Oh boy. But it eluded me. I had to attend a school where more Hausa was spoken than English. So I speak a little Hausa. The storms were big. It affected what you ate. I remember I had to wear my school uniform as casual clothes at home. It affected what you wore. It affected the type of education you had. And we were wondering what will become of our future. But God is gracious. Will somebody shout him? Oh, come on, come on. Oh, come on. Will somebody glorify God? Will somebody praise God? In other words, the program that I host weekly on television, speaking on relationships and others, I am the least qualified to handle it. David said, if you restore me, I will teach people your righteousness. You're not getting what I'm saying. So your family may not be like this. And therefore, a number of things have not gone on like they should, but I want you to know God is good. Oh. And his grace is sufficient for us in whichever circumstance we may find ourselves. So you are not the only person going through storms. Those days, school fees were negligible. But daddy would not pay it. And we were sacked embarrassingly out of the exam. So school fees were negligible. So I shouldn't be speaking the English language I speak. Because the school I went, Yankudiki Najia, I was a Kobaka Jiba. Neither Najika Dankara. Bejiso Seba. Oh, Reverend, did I speak? Oh, you're not clapping for me because... Oh, is that how you clap for some? I'm multilingual. I don't have to speak German or French. I'm multilingual. My father's married, did 13 years. God has been gracious. Mine has done 28 years. Oh. The Bible says he gave his word, but until the time that the word came to pass, the word of the Lord tried him. So Jesus, together with the disciples, were facing a storm. And the storm was threatening. The storm was at the peril of their lives. And try as the disciples did, it was to no avail. Eventually, they had to connect to the master. Number three, the storms rebuked. So they said, Master, Master, carest not that thou we perish? If you leave the storms alone, they will affect you more. If you do nothing about the storms, they will affect you more. They were on the verge of perishing. And they remembered the master was in the boat. And they had to do something so their lives were salvaged. The winds were strong. The boat was rocking back and forth. Things looked fierce and were beyond control. But Jesus would wake up. When he woke up, effortlessly, oh, I can imagine. He must have yawned the first time. Oh, Jesus. He must have stretched himself a little bit and asked, what is happening? Then he rebuked the storm. The word rebuke in the original means to forbid or disallow. There are things you don't have to permit. The Bible says, whatsoever you permit on earth shall be permitted in heaven. And whatsoever you disallow on earth shall be disallowed in heaven. Secondly, to rebuke means to strike at. The storm was striking at them and they had to strike at the storm. And Jesus offered the leadership of showing influence over nature. So Jesus was demonstrating that he was not only Lord in the realms of the spirit, even in the natural, he had control. Have you forgotten on one occasion the disciples were in a boat and there was a storm and they saw in the distance Jesus walking on the water. And they could not believe, they thought it was a spirit until Peter said that if it is you, bid me to come. So Jesus was walking on the storm, that which was threatening the lives of the disciples and the sheep. Jesus walked on the water. So Jesus got up and rebuked it. Now listen to me. There are some simple natural events that sometimes, and underline the word sometimes, some spirits hide behind the natural event. It may be an ordinary wind blowing, but they hide behind the wind so that they will create more than corresponding negative effect. That's why when Jesus was speaking about his crucifixion and death, and Peter decided to stand against him, Jesus rebuked the spirit behind him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So we need to learn how to exercise spiritual authority over some natural events, which the enemy may use to harass us or oppress us, or try to wind our clock backwards, or try to limit the extent to which we can achieve within a given period. So Jesus rose up and rebuked the wind. Tonight, I rebuke witchcraft from your life. Oh, your amen was weak. Your amen needs resuscitation. I said, I rebuke the occult from your life. Oh, I'm not hearing you on the other side. I rebuke any satanic attack intended to affect your health adversely by the power of God. I rebuke headaches. I rebuke headaches. I rebuke growths and tumors in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke cancerous cells. I command them to die and to fall out of your body by the power of the Most High God. I rebuke asthmatic attacks. I rebuke any diabetic condition in your life. I rebuke any power of death, any spirits of accident. accident, any spirits of premature death, in the name of Jesus, let your amen be stronger. Yeah. I rebuke the winds of adversity. I rebuke the lack and insufficiency in your life. Yeah. I rebuke the negative trends. Church, if you believe these are rebuked, shout the loudest. Put your hands together, somebody. You shall not die, but you shall live. I say, you shall not die. The blood of Jesus will cover you and secure your life, your present, and your future. I declare your going out is blessed. Your coming in is blessed. You are blessed in the city. You are blessed in the village. Oh, the fruit of your womb is blessed. And the fruit of your ground is blessed. God will open the heavens and abundantly pour his resources into your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare you shall lack no good thing, for the Lord will open his hands generously toward you and supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, by the power of the Almighty God. God will pick you up, strategically position you, and he will cause your life to be like a container, like a receptacle, receiving the abundance of his grace and anointing into your life. Although your beginning was small, your latter end shall greatly increase. The enemy may come against you one way, but they shall go away confused and confounded in seven different ways, in the name of Jesus Christ. The storm shall not overwhelm you. I said the storm shall not subdue you. You will rise above the storm. You will shine in the midst of the darkness. The glory of the Lord shall be upon you. Have you not read in the Bible that arise and shine, for the light is come and the glory of the Lord is rising upon you. May the glory of God arise upon your life. I rebuke the storm. I rebuke the storm. I rebuke the works of the enemy. I rebuke the attacks. I rebuke anything that is decimating your numbers. Oh, somebody is liberated. Somebody is liberated. Somebody is free. Somebody is free by the power of the Almighty God. Oh, the Bible says, if the same spirit that raised up Christ dwell in your mortal body, that spirit shall quicken you. Oh, may you be quickened. May your heart be quickened. May your lungs be quickened. May your large and small intestines be quickened. May your liver be quickened. May your kidneys be quickened. May your mind be quickened. By the power of God, you shall not be denied any opportunity that is yours. Anything that God has ordained for you, I command, shall drop in your hands. You may live without your own accommodation, but I command you to be in your own accommodation. The harassment shall stop. The oppression shall stop. Your life shall experience a total turnaround. God shall crown your life with success. And remember, you're going out. And you're coming in. It's blessed. When I leave my house, I'm blessed. When I'm returning to my house, I'm blessed. When I'm traveling from the city to the village, I'm blessed. When I'm returning from the village, I'm blessed. When I travel from here to London, I'm blessed. Even when I'm returning, I'm more blessed. You're going out and you're coming in. So Jesus rebuked the storm, number four. After he rebuked the storms, the Bible says the wind ceased. The storm ceased and everything became calm. The turbulence ceased because he spoke the word. And the power of the word was effective against the storm. Everything became quiet. Jesus had brought victory to the people and himself. I want you to know that the word overcome means to subdue, to conquer, to prevail, and to get the victory. The Bible says that ye have got little children and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, ye are of God. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The one in the world may do his worst, but a little of the best of God will make you outshining. You're not getting it. So don't be frustrated by what he that is in the world is doing. Recognize the ability that is seated inside you and rise from within you under that power and under that unction and speak against the negative trends that are occurring in your life. Church, God will settle things for you. Amen. The Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Listen to John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, ye shall have troubles, ye shall have persecutions, ye shall have frustrations, ye shall have antagonisms. But be of good cheer, keep your joy. Don't be depressed. Rise above the circumstance. Don't allow one person who doesn't like you to determine your mood for the next 6 months. When the Lord of Lords likes you, when there are so many billions of people on earth and only one person doesn't greet you in the morning, so come on, come on, come on. Only one person doesn't smile to you in the office, so because of that, your world has collapsed. And you say, I cannot eat. You say, I cannot sleep. Don't let only one person, sister, who came into your life and didn't want to settle with you anyway, and he walked out at a time that you least expect, it may emotionally affect you, but be of good cheer. When you apply for visa and it doesn't go the way you expected, be of good cheer. I will never forget that brother that we saw off about 30 years ago at the airport. He was traveling to the UK. In fact, he had a visa to Ireland. And when he got to the UK, he took the wrong gate. So he was arrested. We saw him off on a Friday. And this guy's a TikTok tall guy those days, and he was an usher that stood at the gate. We saw him off on Friday. We thought that was the end. Sunday morning when we went to church, the guy was standing at the gate. I would have thought that because of what happened, he should have hid himself. He should have been moody. He should have been depressed. But the guy rose above the occasion and came to stand where he used to stand and ushered people. After 2 years, the same door opened and the guy went out. And these days I see him outside only because he has since been there. What am I saying? Be of good cheer. Even when you are broke, be of good cheer. Oh, I'm not getting an amen. Even when your wardrobe is growing lean and the clothes are faded, be of good cheer. Oh, give somebody a high five and say, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. I have overcome that storm. I have overcome that challenge. I have overcome that antagonist. I have overcome it. So rise and be of good cheer. He left you, and so what? Pour yourself some fruit juice tonight and cross your legs and select the best program that you love. It may be praise and worship, and relax and sip it in style and say, Lord, you are beautiful. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Don't wait for anybody to take you to a restaurant. Find a way to the restaurant. You don't have to offer, you don't have to request for the biggest plate of food. Find something that you can handle. Oh, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Salaries may have delayed and they may not have settled you. And your landlord may be looking for the money and other bills may be waiting for you. And every time there's a knock at your door, but be of good cheer. Your political party may not win. Oh, Makataya Kata, sister, I like your spirit. May the power of God reach your life, somebody. Donald Trump may win instead of Mrs. Clinton, but be of good cheer. You may get up, and when you start your car in the morning and you have an appointment and the car doesn't start and you are so disturbed, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You may get home and the only food that is left is garri and red hot pepper. And even if there's fish, it's fish head. I remember one time we had to eat that way. And I and my wife, I prayed a prayer over the meal. It was as if it was a service. And I began to prophesy myself into the US of A. And I declare that I will be in restaurants eating this. But this is just for a moment. Oh, come on. I remember 2 weeks after that prayer, I met somebody on a car. And then that person said, oh, Dr. So-so-and-so was asking of you. I said, I don't know where. He said, take this number, contact him. I contacted him the following day. We're having discussion. Half an hour later, I said, Reverend Jangba, would you like to come with me to the States? I said, ah! Oh, come on, be of good cheer. I said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome. Then I smiled because there was no food to eat. Then you are talking about air ticket all the way to Oregon, far west coast of the U.S. When I smiled, I said, Reverend Jangma, is there anything wrong? I said, nothing is wrong. Then he said, what is it? I said, oh, just the ticket. He said, no, take this number, call Steve, and Steve will send you the... So within 3 days, my air ticket had arrived. I worshipped on the flight. There was one song I sang for 6 hours from here to the UK. Oh, be of good cheer. Come on, can you give 12 disciples a high five and say, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. Jesus had gone the way that you are before, and he defeated the enemies and handed over the victory to you, because he doesn't need a victory in heaven. The last time Jesus, the enemy attacked Jesus in heaven, he was overthrown. So when he came to earth, he chased him down here. So Jesus doesn't need a victory in heaven. That's why he said, my power I leave unto you. Be of good cheer, sister, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Do yourself good. Plan for yourself. If nobody honors you, go and buy a silver cup for yourself and put it in your home. Oh, you don't know what I'm saying. Hey, I work here. I've worked for so many years and nobody recognizes me. No. There was a special birthday in my life. I planned and I got a vehicle that I wanted. And I said, and my boyfriend, he doesn't take me out. My boyfriend, he doesn't give me mobile phone credit. Hey, grow above mobile phone credits. Oh, be of good cheer. For Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Oh, in conclusion, Zerubbabel and co were reconstructed. Some people don't like shouting. But my Bible tells me God is gone ahead with a shout. God is so dignified. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he should have been very diplomatic. But God decided not to be diplomatic. Have you not heard the story I told the other time about the neighborhood we lived in, where next door there was an MP when we were young? And whenever you greeted this MP, he never opened his mouth to respond. He just did something like this. So we thought he never knew how to talk. Then one night, around 2 a.m., a thief broke into his house. And he came face to face with the thief. And we heard him say, Avio. Now, I thought because he was so diplomatic, he would have said, Avio. Hey, Julie. Oh, you're not getting... Oh, church. The Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. Oh, some people are not clapping. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph, with a voice of triumph, for God is gone ahead with a shout. God told Zerubbabel, thou shalt go to the mountain with shoutings of grace and grace. God said the same person that laid the foundation, Zerubbabel, you will lay the headstone. The building that you started, you will complete. The project that you began, you will finish it. But he said you will come with shoutings of grace, grace. You're going to shout grace, grace, which means one. Grace, grace, two, seven times. And you are shouting for yourself. Oh, some walls of Jericho will break. The power of God will break into the atmosphere. The hand of God will come upon you. Victory of God will begin to rest over you. Oh, are you ready? Number one, grace, grace. Number two, grace, grace. Number three, grace, grace. Number four, grace, grace. Oh, Zerubbabel, you will come with shouting of grace to the mountain, to the problem. Number five, grace, grace. Are you ready for number six? Grace, grace. As for number seven, it is a sustained shout. On the keyboard, you can play a note, bing. But on the same keyboard, you can play another note. I'm asking for a sustained shout. The latter one, not me. Are you ready for number seven? Because some walls of Jericho will collapse. Some mountains will move. Oh, the Bible says, if you have faith, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed. Be thou removed. And be thou cast out into the sea. Number seven, grace. Awesome God, how great thou art. You are God. Oh, come on, sing it to your God. Mighty are your miracles. We stand in awe of your holy name. Glory and worship.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this message. We sincerely hope you are blessed. For more information on these podcasts, email us at tetejangma@yahoo.com or call us on 0249-333-575. Stay blessed.